Aye.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get this meeting of the Rental Services Commission officially started. It's Tuesday, May 15th, looks like 2:35. First, we'll go ahead and start with roll call. Andreas, do you want to handle that? Or do we want to just send it around?
Alan?
Just doing a roll call. Christian?
Yep.
Christina? Deborah?
Here.
Ian?
Here.
Jessica?
Here.
Katrina's gonna join us later by phone. Laura?
Aye, aye.
Noelia? Margot? Mike?
Here.
Raul?
Here.
And Yoni?
Here.
Okay.
Thank you. And then just real quick, go to the order so that no one's surprised when I get up and leave a little bit early. I have a six-year-old's t-ball game to get to, so I'll be watching what traffic looks like, but I'll probably have to get up and take my leave around 4:50. So, let's see. Did everyone have a chance to review the minutes from our last meeting? If so, do we have any questions? Do we notice anything that needs to be corrected? And or do we have a motion to approve them as they sit?
Motion approved.
Thank you, Ian. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. And let's technically open for discussion. Anyone have anything that needs updating or changing? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against? Perfect. So moved. All right, so we'll call minutes. Staff update.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about is just email accounts. I know that a number of people have been struggling getting locked out of their city emails. And so our protocol internally is we have a staff from technology services who's servicing the accounts, Valerie. And so if you forget your password and you reach out to me or Stacy, we'll reach out to Valerie and connect her to you and help you get your login information. But I also wanted to use it as a plug to encourage you all to connect your city email that you use for the Rental Services Commission to your phone or whatever platform you use for your work email. It will not make your phone public record as long as you are using the city email, because that already goes through the city server. And so that's an option that all of you have, and it will make things easier as we try to get a hold of you on short notice. And then, Stacy, did you want to talk about the roster?
Very briefly, I just wanted to let all of you know that I would be in touch in the coming weeks to make sure that we have current contact information for everyone so that we can reach you if we need to and make sure that we have your preferred phone number if you want to be called on your cell or your work number or whatever it is. So I will be in touch to make those updates.
And then an update on what has been happening since the last meeting. We have held two budget sessions. The first one, we had Deborah and Jessica join us, and at the second, we had Yoni. Margot had difficulty with her email address, so we will be setting up another budget session, and we'll offer that opportunity to everyone to attend as well.
Thank you. So it looks like next on the agenda, going over bylaws, Yoni and or Deborah. Take us through those.
Everybody okay if I start it off a little bit?
You bet.
I'm going to pass around a diagram. It's not the world's greatest artwork, but basically I've tried to encapsulate what I feel is kind of the most important component here in the draft bylaws. You know, so just a few introductory remarks. The RSC Rules Committee consists of five different individuals from a variety of professional and personal backgrounds, And we've essentially been tasked with the obligation of creating a set of rules that goes before everyone in the RSC to create the most effective environment to get our job done as defined by city ordinances, which are stated right behind the agenda. So if you turn to page one of after the agenda of our packet, so city ordinances, when the city created the RSC, the RSC was tasked with making recommendations for policy that involved four specific areas relating to housing. So that would be, and I'm reading off of section 1A1, landlord-tenant policy initiatives, landlord-tenant regulation and programs, budget, and community involvement. That's kind of like the confines of our work, and anything we do has to be related to that. And we crafted together a proposal that tries to set an environment where people can speak freely and propose ideas, but also enable the group as a whole to engage in constructive dialogue about one proposal without moving on to something else too quickly before we have some sort of sense of where the group falls. And the balance is essentially that we want everyone to be able to be heard, and we want everyone to feel that they can be responded to, and so we're trying to do that. Now, you know, the RSC is all about the amount of energy that we invest in it is going to dictate how much we get out of it at the end of the day. And that doesn't mean we all have to agree with each other, but it just means that we're trying to set rules. At least the motive behind these rules is that we want to create an environment where folks feel that their investment matters, their time matters. They're coming here and they're getting an opportunity to present ideas and also to respond to other folks' ideas. So I would like to kind of guide you guys right now to this little chart that I crafted. So on the side, this is going to kind of take you through what the rules do. On the side, you see A, B, C, and D, right? A says candy canes, B says $5 maximum, C says $5 minimum, and D says 30 minutes plus, right? These are all potential, like hypothetical things that could be proposed by an RSC member or by anyone else that they ask the RSC take up. So A is everyone in Portland who's a renter gets a candy cane. B is a $5 maximum cap on security deposits. C is a $5 minimum on security deposits. And D is we're going to add 30 minutes to each meeting. Okay? And I want to take you through how the rules would kind of go through each of these, right? So right next to A, B, C, and D, you'll see numbers listed 1 through 13. 1 through 13 represent every member on the RSC. I think there's 13 people, but, right? There's 13 people? Okay. The three people, numbers 1, 2, and 3, represent the executive committee, and that's why they're starred. And numbers 9 through 13 represent the rules committee, which is, I'll just identify for the record who's on the rules committee. It's Yoni, Deborah Imsey, Raul, Christina Dirks, and Leah Sykes. Oh, Mike. Sorry, not Leah. Mike, I'm sorry. That was a mistake.
There you
go. Yeah. And so what I'm proposing here is that we engage in robust discussion in every meeting. And what I'm proposing is at the end of every work session, so sessions devoted to before a vote, but where we kind of hash out ideas, the last 25 minutes of every work session is devoted to anybody on the RSC proposing an idea or anybody at all, actually, from the public as well, proposing an idea that would be taken up as an action item. So let's say we're in the last 25 minutes of a work discussion, and I say, my proposal to address the housing crisis is, I want candy canes for every renter in Portland. These are obviously fictional. I don't think anyone would actually propose something like that, right?
You never know.
You never know, right? So during that 25-minute period, we take a list of every proposal. Then what happens is, after that meeting, the Rules Committee meets. And it would typically happen before the Executive Committee. Like, so there's like these kind of intermediary meetings where the Executive Committee meets to discuss stuff. We would meet right before that. And the Rules Committee would basically go through the entire list of action items. And we would review it, each action item, just to make sure that every proposed action item falls within these four categories, which the city has defined as the scope of the RSC mission. Again, landlord-tenant policy initiatives, landlord-tenant regulations and programs, budget, and community involvement. Right? Now, the first step here is we're going to go through all the action items, and we're going to review them by these objective criteria. So for candy canes, is candy canes a landlord-tenant policy initiative? Is candy canes a landlord-tenant regulation and program? Is candy canes budget? Is candy canes community involvement? If we agree unanimously that it falls into one of these four things, and this is meant to be a purely objective assessment, this is not based on any substantive opinion on whether you think it's a good idea or not. Simply, does it fall within the meaning of the language that City Council passed in order to create this committee? If we agree unanimously, 5-0, that candy canes going to renters falls in the mission of the RC, then that goes back up to the group at the next meeting for a vote and discussion. Right?
Yeah, ma'am.
Yes.
Just so everyone's aware, that's on page 6 of the written bylaws. So Yoni's walking through the diagram he provided, but it's also in language in the bylaws. I know people learn differently, so I wanted to put that out there.
So, you know, we would do that for all of these proposed proposals, right? So, you know, $5 candy canes would probably be questionable. Does it fall within the meaning of the ordinance that created our committee? I think the $5 maximum security deposit would be an easy one, right? That clearly falls within it. The $5 minimum security deposit proposals, things that clearly contradict each other, would go back up to the group. And then 30 minutes plus, right? That has more to do with our group as a whole and administrative and logistics than it has to do with policy proposals. So I would say that there's a good likelihood that that wouldn't go back to the group, right? But so the idea is, if it unanimously goes up 5-0, then it goes back to the group at the next meeting, and we all vote on it and talk about it individually. But like, let's talk about the $5 minimum security deposit, right? Let's say that one person on the committee feels that this does not fall within the scope of the RSC's mandate as defined by City Council, right? And the vote is 1-4. It's not unanimous. There's a clear majority, but it's not unanimous. What happens at that point? At that point, it gets automatically appealed to the Executive Committee. So that's Ian, Chris, and Katrina. And they vote by a 2-1 margin, or they vote by majority and determine if, in their interpretation of the proposal, it falls within these four prongs of the RSC mandate. At that point, if it passes 2-1 or 3-0, it goes up to the whole group at the next meeting. If it doesn't, then at that point, the person who made the proposal, meaning it's defeated. Somebody, we're at the point now where the executive committee is saying $5 minimum, none of the executive committee feels that a $5 minimum security deposit is within the scope of the RSC. At that point, the person who proposed it has the opportunity to get 2/3 of the entire RSC to overturn that and bring it back up. So essentially, this is a funneling system. But what it does is it ensures that we're focused on an official list of things we're going to discuss, and that we're not just talking over each other or talking without resolution, that we're actually putting it on an official list, coming to a decision, and voting on how we feel about it. And I think that it's going to help us create an environment where we'll have organized conversations about difficult and challenging topics. So I'm open to, that's basically the framework, and I'm open to any feedback. This passed out of the Rules Committee 4-0. One member was not present, but I think it's fair to say that all the feedback from each committee member has been taken into what we feel is the final proposal. And it's just a draft at this point, and we need a majority of the RSC to pass it. So my hope is that it passes today, and any of us are happy to answer questions about it. Deborah, would you like to add anything?
Well, I would just add that, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with Yomi and with this proposal. One thing that I really like about it is it will, you know, we all sort of feel passionate about things, and so sometimes that can get us a little squirrely and off, you know, on subjects that don't necessarily pertain to the business at hand. So I think this goes a long way in keeping us focused on the reason that we were asked to be here in the first place. So
thank you. One quick question, and then if you guys want to go ahead and just use the name tags in case we have a few. The additional approval process, based on how things are scheduled currently, do we anticipate that'll add any time to our ability to be able to make decisions for recommendations that end up going up, or is it scheduled to where it'll nicely happen in between those meetings and won't actually delay our current schedules?
Yeah. A good question. The plan is that we would meet separately before the executive committee. So you guys meet, I don't know when you meet, but we would meet an hour before you, and we would go through the action item list, and anything that didn't unanimously pass would be immediately sent down to you, and you guys would vote by 2-1. Right? So I don't anticipate that to add any time.
So, just for the record, I was actually the one who was missing from the vote for the bylaws committee, and I'm in favor of the proposal as stated. The one concern that I had prior that was amended was having a mechanism for both transparency and like dissent with both the rules committee and the executive committee. So, for folks who aren't on either of those committees, having an opportunity for them to have the 2/3. The body to potentially appeal and overturn, I think, is a very important thing, and just would like to reiterate that for the record. So, thanks.
Any other comments, concerns, questions? Yes, Margo.
Just a quick question. I'm sorry I'm late, and if this was already covered.
No problem.
Well, I guess first is just to clarify, would today be the work session on screening criteria and security deposits, since we've already heard those? Is today going to serve as an example of how we'll use the action items from here on out? No?
It was not my intent that would be happening today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I just wanted to maybe have a slightly better idea about what the action items are. Are they recommendations or proposals? Or
so it's anything that you want. It's anything that anyone wants to propose for the group to take up as a whole in order to craft an opinion on it, right?
Okay.
Pro, anti, or anything in between that you want to write an individual opinion about. And really, the goal here is, So getting back to like our collective investment in this committee.
Sorry, and I didn't mean to cut you off. I know you had your card up, which I apologize for. You know, my feeling, and I think the feeling of the folks on the Rules Committee, is that the best thing we can do as a committee is to start releasing recommendations and have rules. And what this does is essentially sets us up so that we know when we come in what we're going to take up, and we know that it's gonna create a mechanism for clarity and discussion and resolution. And people don't need to agree, but anything that someone proposes has a very good chance at being addressed by the committee as a whole. And what I envision and what I believe the other members of this committee, the Rules Committee, Subcommittee envision, is that you have a situation where, you know, let's discuss $5 minimum security deposit. Let's discuss what that means. And we can send to City Council side-by-side recommendations of the folks who are in favor, who are in the majority, folks who, and why, and what they feel the equity lens is, and what they feel the impact is going to be, and how it's going to solve anything related to the RSC's mission, side-by-side with the minority decision. And there's also rights for individuals to craft, through a certain process that's very open, their own opinion if they don't agree with either the majority or the minority and want to add their own perspective. And the idea is that we can just churn out opinions and create a public record so that, like, our work becomes meaningful. And no one can say, oh, well, they're dragging their feet. We're not. We have a system in place to ensure that whoever sits on this committee has their voice heard and that there's a written document expressing the recommendations.
Thank you. Laura?
Thank you. So one question, just procedural for today. We've got more time at 3:45, if I'm reading this correctly, for further discussion about this.
Yeah.
That's correct. Okay, so that was my first question because I wanted to know if you wanted me to wait till 3:45.
So what
so we have time for the rest of the agenda.
We've shifted the agenda a little bit to accommodate a change in the timeline on screening criteria and security deposit, which Jamie will talk about a little bit. And so we have more time to discuss bylaws than we anticipated. And so we have left that entire chunk of time to go further into the bylaws. If it would be helpful to all of you, we can walk through the sections because Yoni presented the funneling system, but there's a lot of just technical bylaw language in here that we can go over. So there's more time, but you don't necessarily have to. I think the commission has structured the meetings in a way where we ask questions at the beginning and have more free-range discussion later, but you are welcome to ask whenever you feel the right time is.
No, I just want to honor the agenda, so I'll wait till 3:45.
I think another reason behind that was we can introduce, start the discussion, and then also have the public testimony, which then may alter our discussion after the fact. Ian, I think, was next.
I just wanted to clarify whether we're talking only about the Rules and Bylaws Committee process or the full bylaws today.
We're talking about the full bylaws today, but this is the area that I chose to focus on for my presentation.
Just 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, just because I felt like we wouldn't have enough time if we looked at it collectively. I really wanted to point the group's attention here and just highlight that we can create a system, we believe this is a good system, that incorporates, I mean, the review process does, you know, create subgroups, but between the Rules Subcommittee and the Executive Committee, you have 8 of the 13 folks, and then you also reserve the right to overturn any decision and get it before the group. This was really just to create organization so we can start churning out opinions immediately and show the City of Portland and its residents that we are here to make serious recommendations based on our own worldviews, through our jobs, through our personal perspectives, that we're not just sitting here twiddling our thumbs. That real work needs to be done, and we're ready to go on the record.
Thank you very much, Yoni, and everyone else who's on the Bylaws Committee. Unless anyone else has a yearning for a comment, we'll go ahead and table this till the end of the meeting.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate the time to present it.
So next we have Jamie Duham. I'm going to go over the screening criteria and security deposits. And it looks like since we only have 15 minutes allotted, there might be a little change that we need to know about.
So first of all, I'm going to apologize because I will have to leave after this update. To get ready for the next round of presentations I need to make about this very policy. So I guess I can start by saying, oh, the things we learn when we're creating policy in the city of Portland. I had anticipated that at this point in time, I would be further along in a policy that was firmly fleshed out and ready to go to council within about a month. But what I have discovered is that I need a lot more community input about the ways in which it will work in real life. And so I don't want to bring to this commission a policy that is still very, very soft and malleable and rapidly evolving, which is where we're at right now. So the policy itself is in an initial framework draft. But we also have an alternative draft that we're workshopping. And my goal for the next 2 months, for May and June, is to workshop it intensively with various organizations, groups and individuals, several of whom are represented here at the table, to really, just find out in real life what works and what doesn't work. And I have pushed off the tentative scheduling to come to council to the middle of August. Right now, that tentative time certain is August 16th. That may or may not change, but my goal is to have to come back potentially in June to the RSC with a policy that is much further along so that you can actually offer an opinion because we know what direction it is going in. In the meantime, like I said, I'm doing a roadshow, essentially. I've already met with organizations like Home for Everyone, twice, One App Oregon, the Housing Alliance Policy Committee, Multifamily Northwest, Southeast Works. Tomorrow I'll be meeting with TPI, the National Association of Property Managers, ERCO. I have either 16 or 17 individual organizations scheduled for May and early June, and I am wide open to anyone else who would like to reach out to me and request a presentation in their organization. If you would like some real time, I'm looking at like 2 hours for each meeting because the goal is to not only present about the overview, but then to really dig in deep on all of the components, and it's pretty complicated. So. There's a lot to talk about. I'm open to questions, but that's about it.
Thank you very much. Laura?
So, Jamie, I just want to thank you for all the work that you've put into this and your openness to going down a road that maybe had twists and turns you didn't expect, and being really open to workshopping it and shopping this around and taking input from a lot of groups and changing the direction and the timeline that you originally had set out to. And I just want to acknowledge that and thank you for that because it is really complicated. And I think you heard what a lot of people said about the complexity, the challenges. So thank you very much and look forward to seeing its continued iterations and contributing. So thanks.
Thanks, Laura.
Very good. Any other questions like that before we move on to public testimony?
Easy breezy.
All right, perfect. Do we have a public testimony sign up? Have been anyone signed up? This is going to be the quickest RSC meeting we've ever had. All right, I'm not hearing anyone jump at the opportunity. No? Okay, then moving on, and I assume if for some reason some of the general public wanders in the next 30 minutes or so, if staff can maybe grab them, just verify they don't want to actually give public testimony. we did advertise that we are allowing it from 315 to 345. So, but hearing none, I guess we'll go right back to the bylaws discussion. I'm assuming at the end of this, our goal is to actually have a vote on recommending them as they stand or with alterations if we discuss them and make them. Okay. Laura, start us off.
All right, thank you. So a couple questions, and to Andres's point about, you know, there being more than just what you identified, Yoni, from the chart, but a couple questions initially. So the action items, how are they different from our work plan as it stands now?
Yeah.
And how do we either integrate items that come up that aren't on the work plan or amend the work plan or whatever? So that's one question. You've indicated here that you want to have the last 25 minutes set aside for action items. Do you really anticipate there's going to be that much discussion about action items? Okay. And then I found it interesting, the comment about churning out opinions. I don't dislike that, but is that really our goal? You know, to be churning out opinions as opposed to taking addressing a specific problem and perhaps that's what you're talking about, making recommendations about how that problem gets solved. So those are some of my initial.
So thank you for your questions. So in terms of the work plan, I don't necessarily anticipate that anything. So the work plan sets out general concepts, right, that we're supposed to work on. It could be security deposits, screening criteria, regional collaboration. You know, we have general concepts, right? But what frequently happens in a lot of our discussions is that our own experiences lead us to recommend certain things based on what we see in our line of work, in our professional backgrounds, where I think it's worth it for the group as a whole to discuss it. Somebody might come up and say, well, you know, in my experience, you know, security deposits and carpets are a major problem, right? And so I propose this to address that situation. And so the way I envision it is that it's allowing everybody on this committee to propose specific angles and proposals that address the larger problems that we've been identified, right? And if someone's going to use the last 25 minutes or take part in that last 25 minutes to make a recommendation, I think it's also fair that the group as a whole not just move on to the next discussion or the next participant that wants to say something, but we actually take the time to discuss it, which both puts the onus on the individual proposing to propose something that's worth the group's time and also puts the onus on the group to think very seriously about, number one, this broader issue that we're chastened with discussing, and whether this specific proposal can actually address within the scope of the RSC and make a recommendation to actually solve that problem. And then, I guess, can you remind me your second question?
Well, it was about is 25 minutes really, are we really going to use 25 minutes?
I kind of just picked it because I wanted there to be enough time for everyone to say something. It doesn't mean we have to use it. It just means that, like, if in the course of the work discussion, and the work discussion is the time where we're sitting there and we're actually discussing the agenda item, right? If during that time you have an idea that you think the rest of the group should discuss that addresses the concept at hand, right, then you can use the last 25 minutes as ideas pop into your head to suggest, I think we should look at this, and I'd like to hear other people's thoughts about this, and I think it's such a good idea that we should discuss as a whole whether the RSC should take positions on it to send to the mayor's office, to send to city council. And the final one?
Yeah, the churning out opinions, that answers that.
Yeah. So it's really, it's not that like we need to be an opinion machine. It's just that we're all here for a unique reason. And we have the opportunity to take part in a group as a whole, but also give our own individual insight. And not only propose ideas that stem from our own individual insight, but respond to other people's opinions with our own individual insight. Everybody deserves that voice, and that's what we try to encapsulate in these rules. And I hope I answered your questions okay.
You did.
And I'm sorry
if
I'm so talk so much.
No, not at all. Awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to look for an example that might help, because I know that the bylaws are conceptual, and it might help to translate it into what we've done. So I went back to the notes for the relocation assistance policy, and in there, someone mentioned that for the exemptions that don't have to apply to have their exemption acknowledged, that tenants should get a process for notification. And then Raul said that the Housing Bureau should be sending out letters to those tenants, letting them know that their landlord would be exempted, doesn't have to apply. And so that could be an example of like an action item that would be recommended. Or Christian said that for exemption number 7, the family member move-in, the rules currently don't allow for landlords who own a property with an LLC to apply for the exemption. And he said, why is that? And so that could be another example of an action item that could be generated, just to try to ground the concept in something that the commission has already done.
I have a question. I'm not sure if Yanni will be, might be more for staff. So my understanding of, you know, the technical definition of an action item is essentially anything, any proposal that's put up for a vote for whatever that body is. So if I'm understanding this correctly, I just want to make sure we're 100% clear. We still have the ability in these RSC meetings as members to propose anything we want. And then after it's voted on, and assuming it's approved, not unanimously, then it goes to you, to the bylaws committee, to review to make sure it meets those guidelines you set out, at which point it then goes to the executive committee, all before the next meeting,
yeah,
correct?
Okay.
Am I right on that?
So let me clarify. We're not gonna be, during the work discussion period, I don't anticipate voting during that time, right? What we're doing is we're setting an agenda for, based on the discussion we've had, of things we're going to vote on when it's time to vote at the final hearing stage, right? And so in between, let's say, you know, you make a proposal, it goes to the rules committee votes 1-4 that it doesn't fit within the mandate of the RSC, goes to the executive committee says still no,
whatever, yeah.
Right? Then it goes to the entire group. You get 2/3 to say this should go to the whole group for a formal vote.
So I guess just to clarify real quick, my real question was more, we're not hamstrung in any way. We still have the ability to come up with whatever action item we want,
yeah,
during an RSC meeting. All of this stuff happens after the fact.
Yes.
We're
sorry.
Not pre-approving, yes, action items or something like
right.
that. Okay.
Exactly.
That's the main thing I want
exactly.
to sure. yeah.
Yes.
Let's see here. Margo?
So I guess we haven't yet had a work session. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so I guess first of all, I really like the process you've outlined. And thank you very much for the time and thought that went into it. I think I understand what the action items are. I'm wondering, do they need to occur in a work session, which follows a listening session, which follows, you know, an initial hearing? Because I know that I have, you know, there's kind of little things that I would like to propose to the group that, you know, that maybe minor changes to the relocation ordinance, for example, or some other things,
mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have that even on our work plan yet, and I don't know that it'll necessarily follow that three-pronged approach.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they need to be revised to reflect this or not, but I guess my question is, can we do action items at any time, you know, under any kind of meeting on any topic?
So the way it's written right now is that, and I didn't mean to interrupt you,
okay.
It's a good question. The way it's written right now is just based on the work session topic, you make action items relating to that topic, that discussion, right? And then it comes back around for the final hearing on that same topic. So I, just for simplicity's sake, but I imagine if there was a situation where you wanted to propose an action item for something completely different, but we weren't talking about on that work session, at that point, I think we would probably have to find some mechanism for that action item to be proposed, right? Because we don't want to cut people off from proposing ideas. It's just not reflected in the current language.
Right.
That's what you're asking, right?
Yeah.
So just to clarify, because I think Margot and I are trying to get at the same point. As it stands right now, all of us RSC committee members during an RSC committee can make any proposal we want.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't mean it's going to be seconded or move on from there, but we can.
Right.
That's one of the things. And I think Margot and I are trying to make sure we still have that ability. There's no pre-approval process for us to come up with that. All of what you're talking is after the fact. So if I'm understanding this correctly, Margot, we still have the ability to propose anything we want during any meeting, and then after an action item is called for, however it's come up with, after that meeting, they will review it and everything and whatnot and go through this process, I believe.
But so are anything we want proposals in any meeting considered action items?
The way that I understand the definition of them, yes. Maybe staff can say yes or no to that if it's different.
I could give a hypothetical.
I don't
have the group of tenants here this time, but hypothetically, maybe next time I have the tenants from Holgate Manor here describing what's going on with their complex. And there's the pathway to help the tenants, but then there's also some policy changes that we may package, mm-hmm. like the Holgate Manor Tenants Act.
Yeah.
And they may ask this body for, you know, a vote to endorse them trying to stay in their homes or to look at this, you know, this small package of policy changes. And I mean, I understand how either one of those things could end up going down the hearing work session pathway, but they also could be things that maybe don't require that 3-meeting plus listening schedule. And so what, in terms of asking for the whole group to essentially, you know, form an opinion on this in some democratic way, mm-hmm. I could imagine that going through this process that you've described, like that becomes an action item, rules committee meets out off meeting, mm-hmm. decides if it falls in one of those categories, brings it back, but it wouldn't be following this exact structure because we wouldn't be in a work session on that topic.
Yeah. So I would be my intent in drafting these rules in that situation that you brought up would be that it would just go through the review process, the entire package, and comes back to the group.
The inter-meeting review process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we don't have to have a listening session on it.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, recommended changes, or are we ready for someone to propose accepting it as it's written?
Yoni, can you discuss the what is, I think, section 6B on page 4, the collaborative decision making, and how you arrived at that, and tell us a little more about that, especially the consensus piece?
So I actually think that's me. A number of the sections in the bylaws were drawn from the city attorney's process is working with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to standardize bylaws across different city committees and commissions. And so what we did is we took a draft that Yoni had written that included the funneling process and other components, and we merged that with the template that the city used. And so the section on collaborative decision making is drawn from the city attorney's template, and they offered the options of a majority vote system or a consensus decision making system. And so consensus decision making seemed to be more in line with how the group was working, with the understanding that, as it's later described for the opinions, the group isn't expected to reach one opinion, but instead is allowed to reach consensus in multiple directions. And so the consensus decision making, I thought, spoke more to how the group responded to motions that were made and made votes on matters that weren't the work plan topics.
So can you talk about, or can you give an example of how that would work in practice?
I think that the City of Portland has moved its bodies in the direction of consensus decision making, and it still involves, like it says, quorum and a vote, but it emphasizes looking for common ground and similarities as part of the process, so focusing the discussion on finding a way to see if there's a way for a proposal to speak to more members rather than simply reaching the minimum amount of people required to pass. So in that way, I would think of it as kind of like the philosophy for how the group reaches decisions and the steps it takes before voting on a topic.
So is it accurate to say it's sort of like an aspirational approach more than a perceived, because I'm trying to figure out how it then works in with a final hearing, if at all.
Yeah, so something that might help is when you take Yoni's model of candy canes, 5 max, 5 min, and 30 minutes, you could have something that's more like $10 maximum security deposit, $5 maximum security deposit, and there's common ground there and an opportunity to reach one opinion, or everyone could articulate their own opinion, and it's possible that you could get multiple proposals that pass a majority vote but conflict with each other. And so I think it's seeking decisions that speak to more than one person or more than a strict majority of people, and seeing where there's opportunity for the group to reach consensus, even if it's a part of the group to reach consensus on a specific item.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to call him if you were good. Raul?
Yeah, I had a follow-up on that. So the sense that I get is that the effort should be made, right? Like, and obviously the issues this committee will be discussing are often controversial or divisive, and people come, I mean, I think we're a pretty reasonable body, but we'll come to places where we disagree, and there's, you know, splits along sort of, you know, lines, and there may be close votes. So the way that I'm understanding is we need to make the effort, we just don't have always the expectation that there will be consensus. It's just something procedurally we need to work towards. Is that right?
Perfect. Any other comment, questions? Does someone feel confident enough to make a motion?
I need a formal decision to say each and every analysis will be made of each proposal and to set in appropriate opinion. Is that something our committee is equipped to do? Or are we seeking support from the Housing Bureau to do that?
Would you be kind enough to just repeat the first part?
I need a formal decision. There's a component about the economic
impact.
Yeah, okay. Who's a lot.
Yeah, thank you. And your question is, so the formal decision has a component that says, think about this. So if we go to the decision section, which is section 8, right? There's a list of things that a formal recommendation should have. And this was actually incorporating the rule. This was incorporating stuff from a lot of different folks that I talked to on this committee. Basically, I think it's just worth reading them. It's the same for majority and minority opinion.
a summary of the proposal and the manner in which it will relate to current ordinances, rules, so summary, right? A summary of how the policy proposal relates to the rental market and the mission. An analysis of why those who voted in favor or against recommending a specific action item believe the proposal will bring greater social equity to Portland's rental market. The analysis will include information on how a specific proposal improves housing choice and reduces displacement for those individuals who are negatively affected by the current rental market, and how the specific proposal will decrease barriers to entry for renters and prospective renters. The opinion should also include a statement on the perceived fair housing impact of any proposal. And then, this is the one that you were bringing up, the economic consequences, right? And the idea is that in any opinion, we should have a full-bodied conversation that people in the group talk about potential economic and social equity impacts of anything that anyone's recommending. That we shouldn't be recommending something without having those conversations. So, are we equipped to do it? I think we're equipped to have a conversation, and if there's a point where someone says or the group agrees we can't ascertain the economic impact, then at that point we can discuss having someone else who has that knowledge discuss it. But the idea was really in the formal opinion that we're not just saying, this is good, this is awesome. It's more like, let's think about what we're proposing, whether it's gonna relate to our mission, who it's gonna help, and who it's gonna potentially harm, right? And to get people thinking collectively about it.
And sometimes there's a bias against good proposal on the economics of that one. So I wanted to be aware of that. I kind of assume, unless there's a good argument to be made that it's not economically viable, then we should assume that the proposal is okay how it is.
So, and correct me if I'm misstating what you said, but basically, your concern is that if someone argues or the group argues that a policy proposal is not economically viable, then it biases the group against that proposal.
And it is a bias when the economic implication is unknown.
Yeah. Yeah, so thank you, and that's a great question. I think the idea is not that we have all the answers, but that the discussion include these components, right? And that we at least talk about a conversation where people can say their opinions on whether this increases or enhances social equity and social barriers, and whether this will have an economic impact on things. I don't anticipate, right, because in a majority opinion that supports a proposal to limit security deposits, for example, right, in that kind of situation, people are not going to be in agreement on what the economic impact is versus the removal of a significant social barrier or entry to housing, right? There's going to be completely different perspectives, but at the very least, we had a conversation about it, and the opinion includes information that we had that discussion. And that's just there, so they know we addressed it, that we weren't just recommending things. Did I answer your question?
Yoni, it might be worth pointing out, I mean, in the final hearing section it says, the body shall debate the possible economic consequences a proposal may have on the rental market. So I think it acknowledges that it's not the full definitive analysis necessarily.
Yeah, not a definitive analysis.
I was just raising a concern about it.
Thank you, it was a good point. I hope I answered your question.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the Bylaws Committee for all the hard work you did on this. If there's no other comment, does anyone want to jump out there and make a recommendation? Proposal, I should say.
I was just thinking, do we want to propose to change the language slightly so that it better reflects the ability to make action item recommendations during any meeting and to be considered any time? I kind of just added some quick language. I don't know if this would satisfy folks' concerns. Let me just read the language I grabbed. So if I'm on page 5 in subsection C, about halfway through the paragraph, it says the term action item refers to a specific policy proposal or recommendation that concerns the topic at hand. I think we could just also add, or any topic that addresses rental housing equity, so it's not limited to what's being discussed at that meeting. And then in the following sentence, it says, any member shall reserve the right to add an action item to the list without additional support from any other members. We could also just add there, and at any time, not limited to a work session.
Yeah.
I think that kind of covers
people's
Absolutely.
Concerns.
Thank you, Christina.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
I assume staff got those notes. Then, is there any discussion on those or anything else? Yes, Margo?
Not on that, but I do want to ask one last question before we vote. At one of our first meetings, I had moved to create a working group, and that motion failed. One of the reasons was because we didn't know what a working group would be, and so is it, how might I request or that the rules and bylaws committee take up that question for what would consist of a working group so that we could have that as an option? I presume that doesn't, I mean, I know this is a living document and we don't have to do that now, but I wanted to submit that question and concern before closing.
Yeah, so let's say you make a proposal that you want to create a working group or I guess a subcommittee to analyze a certain topic, right? I would say that could just go, I would view that as more of an administrative issue that would go directly to the group. It wouldn't even have to go through this process. That would be like, can we add 30 minutes to the meeting?
Right, but in terms of how a subcommittee would function, how many members, and what would be the
quorum, public notice.
Yeah, quorum, public notice, or not if it's under seven members, right. And what would be the objective of a subcommittee in terms of how it differs from the RSC and its accountability to the RSC, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering about the actual bylaws governing a subcommittee.
Yeah,
Andreas, do you have?
It's at the bottom of page 3.
Yeah,
it's
there.
It's right above section 6.
Yeah, so it says the body can divide its members into non-standing committees authorized to act on the behalf of the full body for an assigned purpose to address issues within the parameter of the body's duties and responsibilities. Membership's determined by the executive committee. Non-standing committee meetings are subject to public meetings law and must abide by quorum requirements. It can engage non-members, but only members can vote to approve reports and recommendations to the full body. I assume this is taken from the city template, is where most of that language came from. And then just a small point, the RSC is a commission, and so all of the subparts of it are just committees. So there are no subcommittees. And non-standing committees is the designation that the city decided to refer to groups that might meet for a short period of time.
Thanks for that. I think that covers it.
All right, thank you. Any other comments, Raul?
So a specific question on that. So what are the rules if members from the executive committee or the rules committee are like present or members of different committees? Like what happens like in terms of public records laws or public meeting laws, how we set those up and what that means?
So I am not a public meetings attorney and will not claim expertise in how to interpret it, but my understanding is that the way those groups will work is you look to what the purpose of the group is. So the bylaws and rules committee is a body dedicated to discussing the bylaws and rules for the RSC. The executive committee has purposes in the bylaws, and so if those members are in a different meeting, in a subcommittee, or a committee, they shouldn't be discussing bylaws because then they could trigger a quorum for the bylaws committee. But if they were discussing screening criteria and it didn't relate in any way to the bylaws or to the role of the executive committee, then it would be a separate body. Either way, we would notice it. It just determines what body we're noticing, right? So if it's a meeting of the bylaws committee or of this new non-standing committee that we've created.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other comments? Don't see any name tags. I'll go ahead and propose or make the motion that we approve the bylaws as written with Christina's recommended edits. Do I have a second?
Jessica
seconds.
This is Katrina here.
Hi, Katrina.
I just wanted to flag sort of the language that Alan had brought up. Do we have any did anybody make any motions for that language to be included?
I believe Alan's concerns were already satisfied with what's in there, right? Someone else correct me, please. You agree with that, Alan? Yes. Yes. So they have been addressed. We didn't need to actually make any changes. We just, they're clarified.
Okay.
They were clarified in there.
All right. Thanks.
Any official discussion? All right. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. None opposed. Any abstain?
I think Katrina opposed.
Katrina, you were a yay vote, correct?
Yeah, it's an
F. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, so none proposed, and no abstain, so it looks like the motion passes. Thank you very much, Bylaws Committee. We appreciate it. Doesn't look like we had any other members of the public come in. Do we have any other remaining comments or anything good of the order? Mr. Yoni?
I just want to say that it was really a privilege to work with members of the Rules Subcommittee and to sit down as a group and figure this out and to give us a framework for moving forward, and also thank the staff, particularly Andres and Matt at the PHB for helping facilitate this. And also, I spent a lot of time talking to different members of the RSC about the vision, and Katrina in particular, so thank you for everybody being on board and helping out.
All right, thank you very much. Andres, you got something?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow it up. So this is now your adopted and functioning bylaws. I wanted to draw your attention to page 10, section 12, which is the process for amending the bylaws. I just wanted to highlight it so you were all aware of how you all could change your bylaws and what the process for that would be. The Rules and Bylaws Committee will be the primary body that kind of safe keeps the bylaws and follows up on them, but these are the rules that govern how your commission works, so you all have ownership in it.
Very good. Thank you very much. I think that should be it. So we are adjourned. As far as schedule goes, I'm going to do a quick review of the schedule before we make it official.
Yeah, so that's a good question. We have a little bit of lack of clarity. It comes back to what Jamie brought up in today. Was originally the hope was to have a work session on screening criteria and security deposits. JB requested to withdraw that presentation and to delay the work session. So now we are tentatively thinking of doing that in June with the final hearing in July, but Jamie acknowledged the potential for the timeline to change again. And so it's something we'll touch base with the executive committee before finalizing. Hopefully in June we'll be doing a work session on screening criteria and security deposits to finalize it in July. And I will keep the body updated as we have updates.
Do we have any, corresponding thing, do we have any interim topics that would then be discussed on that next week?
So Katrina asked if we could discuss, because we had time on the agenda, do an update on rental registration today. We couldn't because we didn't notice it. That is something that we can notice, just to have options and provide an update of where the Housing Bureau is on. So I know that's one option that has been discussed. If any members of the body have requests or ideas, they're always welcome to reach out. Ideally before the executive committee meeting, which is when we try to finalize the meeting topic and agenda.
Nothing else, then we're good to go. Looks like we are adjourned. It is what, 3:40 looks like.
Thank you, Katrina.
Oh, yeah.